The text for this morning in the Christmas story is the subject, and the text is Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through 14, which reads as follows. It says, "And the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you, you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I bless the reading of his word. May we bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ, for the perfect teaching ministry of your blessed Holy Spirit, and for his ability to explain your word. So give us the words to say, and let us say them with liberty, with clarity, and with boldness, and that somebody listening might believe the report. Thanking you in advance for all that you are going to do in the strong and perfect name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, thank you very much for coming to hear the message today. Let us reiterate our position on why we attend church. We attend church to obtain the mind of Christ, meaning to have the Bible illuminated in our minds so that we can clearly understand the principles that Jesus taught and base our daily personal decisions on those principles. We come to church because we want to be obedient to the Bible, which is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, in an informed, insightful, and intelligent manner. Now, the Christmas story begins with a recitation of the circumstances surrounding the birth of John the Baptist, the prophesied preacher preparing the people of Israel for the Prince of Peace. Zacharias, the man who was going to be John the Baptist's father, is a Jewish priest, and the story begins as Zacharias is ministering in the temple in Jerusalem. Luke chapter 1, verse 5 through 25 tells us, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and will drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." The angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was that as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, And she hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Now Zacharias was in the temple of God when he was informed as to Elizabeth's impending pregnancy by the angel Gabriel. If God is going to manifest himself anywhere, it would certainly be reasonable for a priest to expect to see God in his temple. Zacharias, however, was serving God as many people do. Even as he was praying to God, he doubted that God could or would grant his request. Many people ask God for things, and then when they receive them, they chalk them up to coincidence or good fortune. People are surprised when God actually blesses them as they have requested because they don't really expect him to do so. One reason that you should have a written record of your prayer list is so that you will remember that you prayed for that which you received when you get it. Now John the Baptist is in the womb of Elizabeth. The angel Gabriel moves on to discuss the situation with the woman who is to carry the Christ. Luke chapter 1 verse 26 to 33 tells us, Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now the angel has presented Mary with an interesting dilemma. Mary is a virgin, betrothed to be married to Joseph the carpenter. She wanted to enjoy family life, but she planned to do so in decency and in order, with her husband as the father of her child after the wedding was completed. Mary, being a direct person and understanding biology, asked the obvious question. Luke chapter 1, verse 34 through 38 says, Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? The angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold the handmaiden of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now Mary had faith in God. Faith is not necessarily intellectual understanding or agreement. You may not understand or agree with what God is doing or what the Bible tells you to do. If you have faith in God, however, you will go along with God's program whether or not you understand or agree with his program. When you read your Bible and find a principle or instruction with which you do not agree, your faith in God should lead you to realize that God knows better than you do. And if there is ever a discrepancy between the way that you think and the way that God thinks, you should probably go with God's opinion. As we have previously mentioned, we come to church to get the mind of Christ so that we can base our daily personal decisions on his principles. Now the story continues as these two pregnant women, Elizabeth and Mary, meet with each other. Luke chapter 1 verse 39 through 45 tells us, Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, As soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now Elizabeth is living the penalty for Zacharias's lack of faith. Imagine being pregnant, having been in seclusion for 5 months without getting any verbal reinforcement from your husband. No I love yous, no how are you or how do you feel today, no do you want me to rub your back or your feet. Elizabeth hears none of these things because Zacharias cannot speak. So Elizabeth is glad to have Mary as a conversational companion and is also glad that Mary had the faith to believe God that Zacharias did not. Elizabeth tells Mary, blessed is she who believed. And Mary feels the joy of the Lord as God has blessed her. She praises God for the magnificent way that he is using her as his vessel in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through 56. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Now as the story continues, Elizabeth gives birth, but there is a discrepancy about the name that she has announced for the child. Luke chapter 1 verse 57 through 61 tells us, now Elizabeth full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. But they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. Now the relatives wanted to call the baby Zacharias Jr., as he was the son of his father's old age. It was the prerogative of the father to name the child. And since the father was mute, his relatives thought that it would be normal to name the child after his father to carry on the family name. This was a logical assumption, but the relatives had not discussed the issue with the angel as Zacharias had. Luke chapter 1 verse 62 through 66 tells us, so they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. So they all marveled, and immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now this is an amazing story. A barren woman in her old age suddenly and miraculously conceives seed and bears a child, even as her husband loses his ability to talk. In a traditional Jewish area where the family names are given to signify the continuation of the family line, the woman proposes to give the child a name that has no direct relation to her family name. When the husband is asked whether he wants to overrule her decision, he declines to do so, agreeing with his wife. His voice is then restored, and he testified that an angel appeared to him to prophesy the birth, name the child, and strike him dumb because of his lack of faith. Zacharias continues to speak about the child in Luke chapter 1 verse 67 through 80, which says, now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy he promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give the knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in spirit, and was in the deserts until the day of his manifestation to Israel. Well, now that we have read the record of the birth of John the Baptist, let us move on to Jesus the Christ. We talked 2 weeks ago about the prophecy of Isaiah that the Savior was to be born of a virgin. Now, the Virgin Mary was blessed with the one characteristic that God wanted for his son's mother. God wanted his son's mother to be betrothed or engaged to be married. Now, why is that? God does not believe in single parenthood. While God will permit a single woman to bear a child, his intentional will is that they be married before they become pregnant. God's intention is always that a child have both his mother and his father in the home. In Malachi, God tells us that he hates divorce, and in Hebrews, he tells us that he is going to judge fornication and adultery. Now, in the Jewish social structure, a married woman could not be a virgin, as the Jewish wedding practice given in Deuteronomy 22 was that the married couple consummate their marriage on their wedding night and give the sheet with the evidence of the woman's virginity to her father. A woman could be a virgin and also be married if she was first betrothed to be married before she conceived, then conceived by the Holy Spirit, then married her betrothed husband with the stipulation that they not have sex until after the baby was born. She could be a virgin and bear a child, and that is exactly what happened. Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 through 25 tells us, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as followed. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated, 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus." Now, there's one more complication with the birth of Jesus. Luke chapter 1 verse 26 tells us that Mary lived in Nazareth. The prophet Micah in Micah 5:2 prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, which is 80 miles from Nazareth. In Palestine in the first century, there is no such thing as engine-driven transportation. So if Mary was to make the journey, she would either have to walk or travel on the back of an animal. Now, what was Joseph's plan to make Mary travel 80 miles on the back of an animal, being 9 months pregnant? He didn't have one. Horses and donkeys do not have the kind of shock absorbers that I have on my car. And I can just imagine trying to convince my wife to sit on the spine of a donkey, exposed to the weather, with a full-term baby in utero pressing down on the lower regions of her body. Now, I've never been pregnant, but it doesn't sound like a very appealing prospect to me. What do you think? Not to speak of the physical discomfort, what could conceivably make Mary leave her female support system, her mother, her sisters, her aunts and female friends, at the very hour that she was to go through labor and childbirth? I remember that my mother-in-law was at the hospital when my son was born, and if I'm not mistaken, she stayed after Marie came home and cooked for her. I think that I would have had quite the difficult time trying to get Marie to leave her mother at home and go to some little town 20 miles west of Kalamazoo in the car to have the baby, much less ride on a donkey. So why did Mary go? Joseph did not try to persuade her to go, but the decision was neither hers nor Joseph's. God wanted her in Bethlehem, and God has influence at the highest level. God used Caesar Augustus, who was the emperor of Rome at the time, to make Mary and Joseph travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Luke chapter 2 verse 1 through 7 tells us, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Now God wanted the birth of his son witnessed by more than Mary and Joseph, so he sent his angels to proclaim the birth of Jesus the third time. The angel spoke to Mary, then to Joseph, and then the angels brought glad tidings to the shepherds who were in the fields. God did not send tidings of his son to the king, but to the common people, because he wanted the news to come from the bottom up rather than the top down. Luke chapter 2 verse 8 through 20 tells us, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things that were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told them." Now that Jesus is born, the ceremonies that were performed for every firstborn male Jewish child were performed for the baby Jesus. God sent an aged saint and a prophetess to witness the circumcision and purification of his son. Obviously, neither Simeon nor Anna were alive to testify when Luke was researching his gospel, which he wrote about 70 years after the events in question, between 60 and 62 AD. However, the events surrounding Jesus' circumcision and purification were memorable enough that the descendants of those who were there were able to tell Luke the tale. Luke chapter 2, verse 21 through 38 records, "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the customs of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own sword also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 70 years from her virginity. This woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord, and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Well, now, having discussed the interaction of the common people with the newborn Savior, the scripture goes on to discuss the interaction of the king of Israel with the baby Jesus. Herod the king was ignorant of the divine events going on in Bethlehem, but the arrival of Oriental visitors familiar with the prophecy of the birth of the Christ alerted him to the situation and activated his paranoia. Herod decided to use the wise men to find the child who would be king. Matthew chapter 2 verse 1 through 8 tells us, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." Now the Oriental visitors were astronomers and were able to follow an unusual, uncharted convergence of planets to find Jesus. And once the wise men found Jesus, who by this time was somewhere between birth and 2 years old, they began the Christmas tradition of giving gifts by gifting Jesus with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The travelers were warned by God not to return to Herod, and Joseph was warned by God to get out of Bethlehem to keep Jesus from the sword of Herod. Joseph, as it was prophesied, fled to Egypt. Matthew chapter 2, verse 9 through 15 tells us, "When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there till I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Now Herod, thwarted in his plan to get information from the wise men so that he could kill the new king, decided that since he couldn't use his rifle to get Jesus, he would use his shotgun. Herod could not identify Jesus specifically, and since he could not do so, he decided to kill every child who might fit the profile that he had been given. He had no physical description of Jesus, and the only facts that Herod had was that Jesus was a male and a range of dates for his birth. Herod's paranoia fueled his cruelty, so he had all of the male children in Bethlehem, born about the time of Jesus, killed. Then, for good measure, he had all the male children in Bethlehem born since the time that he thought Jesus was born killed as well, in case his information about the timing of Jesus' birth was incorrect. Matthew chapter 2, verse 16 through 18 tells the tale. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Thus was fulfilled which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." But after some time, Herod himself died and cleared the way for Joseph, Mary, and Jesus to return to the Palestine. But rather than returning to their ancestral home of Bethlehem, in which Jesus would be easily identified, being the only male child of his own age group in the town, the Holy Family returned to their original home city of Nazareth. Mark chapter 2, verse 19 through 23, and Luke 2:40 tells us, "Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead.' Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, 'He shall be called a Nazarene.' And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." So now hopefully you see the hand of God working in the birth of his son. Now this is neither a fairy tale nor a fictional story, but actual recorded history with more historical evidence than any event that occurred before the invention of the printing press. Jesus Christ our Savior was actually physically born of a virgin in a stable of in Bethlehem of Judea. This set of circumstances describes the advent of the most memorable life that has been lived since God created the planet. May the Lord be with you as you celebrate his birth this Christmas. And that is our lesson for today. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you that you came down from heaven, born through the womb of a virgin, that you navigated the circumstances of life, that you gather us under the authority of your word, that you came and that you were born of a virgin, suffered, bled, and died on the old rugged cross, that we might have a right and a just right to the tree of life. Now, and Lord, in this age of scientific exploration, help us to understand and believe in the historical accounts of what actually happened during that first Christmas season. Give us a mind, Lord, that we might have faith and trust in you, that we might live our lives according to your dictates and your doctrines, and be students of your word. Now, Lord, we thank you for all that are in the house. We ask you to give us traveling mercies as we go down from this place and bring us back again at the appointed time. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your wisdom, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen, and thank God and praise God. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you this morning that you have blessed us to be able to come out again, and that you have brought Janelle safe over the dangerous highways and airways or whatever ways that she came. And we just ask, Lord, that you would continue to give her traveling mercy through the season, and take her back when it is time to go back safely, and have her enjoy her stay at home with those who love her, and give her a chance to get around and see all of our old friends and buddies and all that kind of stuff. Now, Lord, we're praying for Rick and Courtney and Brian. And we're asking you, Lord, that you would bless Rick, let him come home safely, and have gainful employment here, that he might be able to support himself and take care and grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. For Courtney, we ask you to continue to bless him in his family situation. And we ask you to intercede with Brian, Lord, and give him a level head that he might be able to make good decisions about the situation that he has started with his family. And just help him, Lord, to resolve his situation to the positive, that he might be able to continue to raise his children in the way that they should go, that when they get old, they will not depart from it. And we pray him for Sister Allen and all that she has brought to our attention. We're asking that you would bless her, Lord, wherever she might happen to be today, and bring her. We thank you that you brought her back safely from the East Coast, and we ask that you would bring her back here as well, Lord. We're praying for, as we've already prayed for Janelle, and we're also praying for Veronica Olney. We thank you for the progress that's being made on her front, and we ask you that you would continue to keep her hand in your hand, even as she struggles with that disease, that you would be with her and go with her and give her that healing touch, even as you gave the woman with the issue of blood. We're praying for the Winstons, Lord. Bless them, and for Brother Ed Rodriguez and his family as well. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless Paul's business efforts. Let those who are interceding with the FCC on their behalf of his company, Lord, be successful. Let them find some legal counsel that can make the wheels turn and make things move, that they might be able to go through and procure the necessary licenses and put up the necessary hardware and be successful in their endeavor to sell wireless to the city of Grand Rapids. Praying for Mother Z, Lord, we thank you that you have allowed her to get over her little food poisoning episode, and we ask you that you would continue to bless her, give her colleagues out there a level head during this last term of the school year, that they might be able to finish the year up in peace and in harmony, that she might be able to retire and enjoy the benefits of that. We're praying for Mehdi. We ask you that you would keep her safe as she's up on those 60-foot Christmas trees. Just give her protection and strength as she's decorating Atlanta during this holiday season. And Lord, we ask you that you would bless her son and his wife. Make the child strong and healthy, and give them a joyous time as they come together. We're praying for Gary and Nika, Lord. We ask you that you would help them to raise their child in the way that he should go, that when he gets old, he will not depart from it. And Lord, we ask you that you would bless them. We thank you that her pregnancy and her delivery was uneventful, that things went as planned, and that the child is healthy. Just thank you, Lord, for that goodness. Praying for Darlene Bomarito, and we thank you for her, Lord, and for her continued improvement. And we thank you that Kian had a good first term at the University of Michigan and has come home to his parents. Praying for Osas, Lord, we ask you to give her centering and grounding, help her to resolve the things going on in her life. And we pray for her son, Lord, that you just calm him down when he comes by, we might be able to have a good time with him, Lord. We're also praying for Evangelist Betty Carter Cooney, for Roscoe George and John and Debbie Conroy, for the Perkins family down in Louisiana. We ask you to bless all them that are on the list, for Sister Kay Farrell and Joyce Hudson, and for the Bowie family as well. Give them the things that they need. We're praying for Sister Smith. We thank you that you have lifted her spirits in the passing of her father. And we ask you, Lord, that you would help her son that he might be able to understand what's going on with him. Give him a healing in his mind, that he might be able to think clearly and not with the problems that he appears to have. That you would bring him back even as you brought back the Gadarene demoniac, that he might be dressed and sitting and clothed and in his right mind. We thank you for them, Lord, and we ask you to bless their family and all the problems that they have brought to us. For Sister Morgan, Lord, we ask you that you would help her as well. Bless her in all that she has to do. For Sister Fuller and for her granddaughter and for her husband and for the family and for those that they are bringing to the church to participate in our little after-school program. We ask you, Lord, that you would give us the wherewithal to actually help somebody. Help us to help those children that come by to absorb the information that we are giving them, that they might be able to grow from the sharing, that they might be able to do better in school and have a better outlook on life, that they might be able to be successful, even though they may have had a difficult start. Help them to have a good end, Lord. We're thanking you for that. Now, we're praying for the television station, for the Forgotten Man Ministry, for the armed forces overseas, Lord. We ask that you would bless our government as they make laws and as they jockey for position, that you would give them all that which they need to do things according to your word. Help them to have the mindset that the people in the country seem to have, that they want to get back to the Bible. And we just ask you that you would allow them to use your word as they deliberate on the decisions that they have to make. Praying for the young men and women in this neighborhood, for the salvation of our family and friends, Lord. And we're praying for Dr. Allen as well, who is taking on the headship of an organization that has some goals that may not be popular with everybody. But we ask you, Lord, that you would give him safety and that you would give him wisdom, that he might be able to explain his position and put forth his program in such a way that he can draw unity among those who have disparate ways of thinking. Give him the words that will bring people together and allow them to complete the initiative that they're working on. We're also praying for our television programs as they go on. We thank you for the respite that we're going to have for the next 2 weeks, and we ask you that you would allow us to use the time to prepare for the coming year. And help us, Lord, as the new year is coming in, that we might remember your word and your son, and that we might live our lives according to his dictates and his doctrines. Now we pray once again for the McClures. Bless them, Lord, and let them have a glorious holiday. And I thank you for my wife, who's the love of my life, and for my son, in whom I am well pleased. And we ask, Lord, that you would just let your arms be around us. Keep us safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. Give us righteous thoughts that we might be able to live our lives in a way that would be pleasing to you. And we will be ever so careful to give your name the praise. Now we pray for intelligence going on in Detroit today as Brother McClure and his son are down them. Let them acquire the skills that they need to follow this particular path, and give them traveling mercies that they might be able to come home safely tomorrow. Let them have a good night tonight. I don't know if they're traveling back and forth or if they're staying down there, but whatever the situation is, Lord, just go with them and stand by them, guide them and direct them in all that they do, and bring them back safely at the appointed time. Now, Lord, we thank you for all these things, and we ask you also to bless Dr. Allen as he travels. Bless everybody who's traveling and bring them back safely. Now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. Thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen, and thank God, and praise God. God stepped physically into the universe of humanity in the person of Jesus Christ, who was born and whose birth we will be celebrating this coming Saturday. As we go through all the festive occasions, as the world talks about all of the alternative philosophies that go along with the holiday season, let us always remember that Jesus is the reason for the season, and that his birth and his death and his resurrection are what give us a right and a just right to the tree of life. Let us always keep his sacrifice uppermost in our minds. Let us remember him now as we eat and drink together. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest with and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let every heart say, Amen.